Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
.502, welcome back into the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Appreciate all of you in Atlanta for taking some time to enjoy the show today. Hopefully, I should say, enjoying the show. You might be hating it. You might want me dead. I don't know. That's up to you. You make the call. 404-741-0929, always the number. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Nick Kale. Also, text the show at 404-741-0929. So let's transition a little bit from the Falcons in the NFL to the SEC and the Dogs. We've got Mike Griffith, who covers the Dogs for the AJC. He is coming up in less than 20 minutes. So, I'm thinking about this last night. We've got the SEC just about 2 weeks away. September 26th, the Dogs against Arkansas. Full conference slate gets underway two Saturdays from today. And I'm wondering if the SEC is down in 2020 compared to years past, or even just last year. Let's think about this for a second. As a Georgia Bulldog fan, here's what's going on around you in the conference. Alabama's going to be very good, but at least in my opinion, not great. This isn't a 2009 team, 2011, 2012, 2015, or even the 2017 team that won national championships. Okay, they lost Tua, they lost Judy, they lost Ruggs, they lost a bunch of defensive players. Now, Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Waddle, Smith. I mean, Alabama, Dylan Moses, Alabama is still going to be good. Alabama is still going to be in the college football playoff. I just don't know if it's one of the three or four best teams that Saban has had in his 13 years in Tuscaloosa. You look at LSU, I mean, they are just completely decimated. They'll be good because Coach O can recruit. I don't know that they're necessarily going to reload. They lost Joe Burrow. Did you see Clyde Edwards-Helaire on Thursday night? Yeah, good luck tackling that cat. Jefferson, 14 players drafted, 17 starters are gone. LSU is probably going to fall back a little bit. No offense to Miles Brennan, but he's not Joe Burrow. Auburn lost Derrick Brown. Marlon Davidson's now a Falcon. And every time there are expectations on the Auburn Tigers, they falter. Auburn is actually one of those teams. When you don't expect them to be good, they actually overachieve and they win 9 or 10 games and they sneak up on you out of nowhere. Bo Nix is going to be a stud, but I don't think Auburn is a juggernaut by any stretch. Texas A&M with Kellen Mond, underachiever. Everybody in the national media says, oh, just wait, Jimbo Fisher, 2020, the Aggies will be back. I don't buy it. Florida, I do buy. Florida, with Kyle Trask and Dan Mullen, I think are going to win the East and they're going to get to Atlanta in December. But I also have Florida losing in Knoxville to Tennessee. So my point being, if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, the SEC could very well have two teams in the playoffs. But I think that's going to happen because three Power Five leagues are playing football. The Big 12's not, the Pac-12's not. Now, I don't think the Pac-12 is going to get a playoff team. But the Big Ten not playing, Ohio State was a lock. Ohio State was actually my pick to win the national championship with Justin Fields. But no Big Ten, no Pac-12. So two of the Power Five are out. The SEC could get two teams in, but I think it's going to be because more of 40% of the Power Five decided not to play football this year. or at least at this point. We'll find out tomorrow. The Big Ten could very well reverse course and get started within the next 4 to 5 weeks. But I still think the SEC is going to hands down be the best conference. They'll still reload at will with 4 and 5 star players, but I just don't know that there's a special team in the SEC in 2020. There's not an LSU from last year. There's not a Bama from 2015. That team with Derrick Henry and all those guys that got drafted on defense in the NFL, they don't have a Tua. So I think it's going to be a little bit different. And I think that actually works in Georgia's favor a little bit. We'll see if Kirby and Todd Monken can get the offense to where they want to be. Because it's interesting, you know, Kirby Smart clearly got the Jake Fromm, Justin Fields thing wrong, right? I mean, Jake Fromm, yeah, he's a winner. Jake Fromm did very good things for Georgia, but Justin Fields last year combined for 50 touchdowns at Ohio State to only one turnover. Just one interception, I believe. Justin Fields was like, oh my God. Every time I watch the kid, I'm like, I mean, I know Jake was a winner, and Jake was kind of like A.J. McCarron minus the natties, but Justin Fields is a different dude. And so Kirby says, okay, I'm going to bring in Wake Forest transfer Jamie Newman. I'm going to bring that dual threat electric elite quarterback in, or at least hope that Jamie Newman could be somewhere close to Justin Fields. What happens? Jamie Newman decides to opt out. Okay, I got JT Daniels, but it's a different style of quarterback. Now, look, Jamie Newman, JT Daniels, both could be equal quarterbacks from a talent standpoint, but with different skill sets. JT Daniels, more of your typical, prototypical pocket quarterback, was probably going to have a good year at USC last year before the injury. So there's a part of me that says, yeah, the SEC's down. This should be good for Georgia. But the other thing that really, and I'm a huge Kirby guy. Like, I grew up a Bama fan, and I loved Kirby Smart as a DC, and I think Kirby Smart's a very good coach. But over the last year or so, I've kind of dropped him down just a peg. I still take him over Dan Mullen, but I don't know that Kirby is truly the elite coach I thought he was. If he underachieves this year, and we know Georgia's defense is going to be really good, we know they're going to be good in the trenches. We just got to see what they get at the receiver position and the continuity at quarterback now with JT Daniels. I personally think Brock Vandegrift's going to be that dude. Eventually, Brock's going to be the guy. JT Daniels, first round pick in the NFL draft, certainly. Although with COVID-19 and the way this whole thing has played out this year with the offseason and, you know, being able to truly practice and get everything where you need to be for kickoff, I don't know that JT Daniels will reach his full potential. But Kirby Smart needs to say, you know what? I'm committing to this style of quarterback, to this style of offense, and not be afraid to pull the trigger and move on from a guy who wins if the guy behind him is a more elite talent. Kirby Smart coached under Nick Saban. Kirby Smart should have saw what Nick Saban did. Jalen Hurts, all the kid did was win. But you know what? There was a guy behind him who was a generational type talent in the name of Tua Tagovailoa. You got to be able to make the tough decision and pull the cord on a guy who might win games, but a guy that's behind him that can do more on the field, win the games, and open up the offense. We'll see if JT Daniels can do that. I wasn't totally sure on JT Daniels. I certainly wasn't totally sure on Jamie Newman. I like Jamie Newman, and what he did at Wake Forest was very impressive. But I got a newsflash for everybody. Going from Wake Forest in the ACC to Georgia in the SEC is a bit of a step up. Now you're going to the league of the big boys. No disrespect to the ACC, but it's Clemson, kind of a trending upward North Carolina. And then after that, I'm not so sure. I know people can say, whoa, don't forget about Notre Dame, Nick. Yeah, they're in the ACC by default for 1 year. They're an independent. So we'll see. I just hope Kirby figures this out. Kirby, Todd Monken, JT Daniels get it going. They get it going early. They roll it up on Arkansas 2 weeks from now, because if you look at the schedule for Georgia, here's the reality of the situation. you get Arkansas week one, should be a blowout, 24-point favorite on the road. But then, next up, number 11, Auburn. Number 25, Tennessee. Auburn's going to be a battle. Tennessee should be competitive against Georgia. Dogs should win going away, but that game should be competitive for a bit. And then you got Alabama coming up, and I believe week four. Then we'll find out if the Georgia offense has really changed and if Georgia can capitalize on what I think could be a slightly down season league-wide in the SEC. 404-741-0929 is the number, 404-741-0929. I'm on record as saying Florida is going to win the East and get to Atlanta. I've got Georgia preseason as a two-loss team, although I could be swayed out of that, to be honest. But it's going to be fun. I can't wait. And I know we're not allowed to say it anymore because, you know, the NCAA put the kibosh on it, but it's the cocktail party. It's Florida. It's Georgia. It's Jacksonville. It's the cocktail party. It'll always be that. So we'll see about the Dogs. I think they have a chance if they get the offense clicking bright and early to possibly capitalize on a year where I think the SEC is going to be down. And down from the standpoint of they're not below the Big 12. They're not below the ACC. They wouldn't be below the Big 10 or the Pac-12 if they were playing. It's just down from the standard of some of the great Nick Saban teams at Alabama, that juggernaut last year of LSU. Because, by the way, LSU last year, that was the greatest offense in a single season in college football history. Joe Burrow, 4,000 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 1,000 yards. Three receivers, 1,000 yards. That is the greatest college offense I've ever seen in my 36 years watching. Well, I shouldn't say 36 years. 36 years on this planet. Probably 29 of them watching college football. I think I kind of had college football, you know, relatively figured out when I was about 8. I'm joking. Probably didn't figure it out until I was like 17. But you get my point. LSU's offense was absurd. They were better than USC with Liner and Bush. Better than that 0-1 Ken Dorsey Miami team with Willis McGahee and Andre Johnson. That LSU team was absurd. Can the Dogs capitalize on what I believe is a down year? We'll start finding out in about 2 weeks. All right, coming up next here on the Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we'll talk to Mike Griffith, who covers the Dogs for the AJC. That's next here on 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United play here.
Ajalbi into the box for Martinez. They score!
If it matters to a United fan, hear it first, even on the weekend.
Your weekend plays here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Nick Cale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Radio.com app. Great to have you in here on a Saturday, Atlanta. The Saturday social comes your way in just about 20 minutes. We'll tell you about that in due time. But right now, let's continue our college football conversation. A little SEC, little Dogs, as we welcome in my man Mike Griffith, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs for the AJC. Mr. Griffith, happy Saturday. Good to talk to you again. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Great to see college football on again, ain't it?
No doubt about it. All these people complaining on Twitter, it's not the same. And I'm like, I just want to blast every one of them and say, would you rather have no football at all? Would you rather be on a pumpkin patch ride with your wife? I mean, seriously.
No, it's true. You know, and you got to remember what it's really all about. I mean, we get selfish in the media or as fans and what we want and what we want. And what we're really seeing, though, is we're seeing some colleges and some programs and some conferences, you know, that made it happen for their young people amid a really challenging time. I mean, let's face it. I mean, politics is playing a role in a lot of things in our society right now. Even college football in the Big Ten with the Minnesota governor, you know, talking about how she discouraged the university from playing football. I guess I didn't recognize that was part of a governor's job. But but down here, the bottom line is this is opportunity. And these players, they don't get 2020 back. And like you said, it's not perfect. We all kind of got to eat around that worm in the apple, right? But we don't get 2020 back, so we can sit around and talk about how bad it is and do nothing, or we can try to make the most of it. For these players, a lot of them, you know, they want professional futures. They signed up for this. And so I think it's just great that they're having the opportunity to go out there and pursue their dreams and their passions in a lot of these conferences. And it's disappointing that other conferences didn't hold true to the contract when that kid signed that scholarship. They didn't deliver that opportunity that they promised them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike, I saw you retweet Ross Dellinger of SI.com, who I believe was on with Willie P in the previous show. He put out a chart on college towns and COVID-19 cases. And if I'm interpreting the chart and the data correctly, it looks like Athens is pretty high up there in a bad way. Yeah. I know the Bulldogs' goal is 20 to 25% capacity. Do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, it's hot. You're right. I mean, we kind of knew this was going to happen when school got back in session, and you had to figure that those numbers were going to spike, especially if there's going to be a lot of testing. You know, the question, to me, it's never really been about the numbers. It's about which people are getting ill with it. You know, there's certain risk groups, and those are certain factors. I mean, obviously, if you're a senior citizen, you're not going to be walking around downtown Athens bar hopping and you know, checking out the scene. If you're an 18 to 21-year-old, you probably don't feel as in danger. Now, fortunately, that doesn't mean that you can't carry it. And despite our education, you know, let's be honest, it's hard to convince an 18 to 21-year-old to do anything without the fear of repercussions or accountability. That's just the way they're programmed. And so you can legislate rules and legislate laws, but you can't legislate human behavior. So I think we knew that the schools, when they started back, were going to have spikes. The college communities were going to be at the greatest risk. What you hope is that those numbers start to fall drastically. And if there's good news for Georgia, it's that they don't play their first home game until October. They got October 3rd and October 10th. You got Auburn and Tennessee. And then you don't have another home game at Georgia again until November 21st. So, you know, you're hoping for the best. They've got a lot of rules and stipulations in place. I know tailgating is being discussed. Not sure what they're going to do with that. I would say if those numbers don't fall, can't imagine Georgia having tailgating. Maybe they decide to wait until November and everybody can tailgate before the Mississippi State and Vanderbilt games.
Mike Griffith is joining us. You know, JT Daniels, many people believe, is a first-round talent in the NFL draft. And when I look at what JT Daniels could be this year in this offense, and when I think about what Jamie Newman could have been in this offense, I kind of feel like they're both about the same as far as bottom line production. They might go about it differently stylistically and with different skill sets, but I feel like all in all could be a push. Bottom line, JT Daniels, Jamie Newman, who do you think will be or would have been the better option this year?
Well, it depends on who they saw move the team. I mean, you know, so much of it has to do, you know, one size doesn't fit all, right? I mean, let's call the elephant out in the room. Justin Fields was a great fit for the Ohio State offense. Mm-hmm. Not a great fit for the pro style as a true freshman. Had Justin come back with 1 year of experience, okay, we're talking about a different player as a second year guy. Jamie Newman came to Georgia to learn to play in a pro style system. Unfortunately, spring football got canceled, and so he was limited to Zoom meetings, which it's just not the same. You guys know this. You know, football is meant to be played. It's a game to be played with pads. You know, 7-on-7, okay, but he couldn't even do that. So spring football was taken away, and that really damaged Jamie Newman's chances of learning the air raid system that Todd Monken wants to use. That's why JT Daniels came to Georgia, because there was an opportunity. He doesn't come to Georgia unless there's an opportunity. So, you know, when people go, oh, why Newman Day? Well, the writing was kind of on the wall when JT Daniels' plane landed here. I mean, this is a five-star guy. And people go, well, he wasn't that great at Southern Cal. Well, actually was. The team wasn't that great. But that was a guy that was supposed to be playing his senior year in high school that was quarterback in USC against Texas and Notre Dame and Stanford and Cal. I mean, he's played big-time football. He played it modern day. They're in this league out there called the Trinity League. There's six teams in his high school league. There is currently four quarterbacks from that high school league in the SEC right now. So JT Daniels has been playing big-time college, big-time football, I should say, for 5 years. You know, he started, 9, 10, 11. He played mm-hmm. a year, and then USC 2 years. 5 years this guy has been in a pro style. So, yes, he's going to have an inherent advantage. Now, where's the knee at? He's still got the brace on. Today, we're hearing Dwan Mathis gets most of the snaps. Obviously, Kirby knows, got to have a number two. Mathis, big arm, big upside, 6'6", 10-800. Carson Beck, former Florida Player of the Year, state championship, biggest. They got some great players there. But JT is the guy with the experience, and I think he would ultimately have been the starter even if Jamie had started, and that's probably why Jamie left, because that doesn't help Jamie if he's not the starter in what amounts to his contract year in college.
Mike Griffith, AJC, with us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. So Cade Mays left Georgia. He goes to Knoxville, and Jeremy Pruitt thinks that all transfers should be eligible amid the COVID-19 pandemic. But if my data and my math and my ability to read a calendar is correct, Cade did so in January pre-corona. So what's the deal here?
Yeah, well, you know, Jeremy's just a great humanitarian. We've known this for years. Now, you know, it is funny how the arguments change from, you know, oh, well, Georgia was just a horrible place, and that's why he had to leave. He had to leave. So terrible over here. And, you know, to now it's like, well, all transfers should be able to play. Look, Tennessee is making a stink out of this. They want this bad. They need Cade Mays. Look, Tennessee's won, what, 6 in a row? They don't want, you know, Cade Mays was the, you looked at what he did at Georgia. He played all 5 line positions. I mean, he was the Swiss Army knife of the Bulldogs. And he's an invaluable piece for your offensive line. And if you're Tennessee, so this is a guy that could make a difference in a game or two. Seriously, I mean, there's a big drop-off between Cade Mays and whoever that next guy is going to be on the Tennessee offensive line. So they've done everything they can do. You know, they appealed it quietly. They got turned down. Now they're taking a different tack. They're going loud. They're going political. They got a House of Representative guy involved in it. They've got a local attorney. They've played the Tom Morris card. They got him involved. Now they're outing the name of the guy that handles transfers within the SEC. They got Lane Kiffin. It's like Tennessee is on this all-out social media. They got a petition with more than 13,000 scholarships. It is all out for Cade Mays to play at Tennessee. It's 2020. So 2020.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's totally 2020. So speaking of 2020, the Dogs will kick off this campaign in 2 weeks. And I look at the first 3 games. Arkansas should be a blowout. Auburn should be a battle. And Tennessee, I think, will be competitive. What can we learn about Georgia, or what do we need to see improve before that game in Tuscaloosa?
Well, I mean, everything, you know, Kirby's right when he says everything. You've got to listen. You've got a brand new offense, brand new terminology, brand new offensive coordinator, brand new quarterback, 3 new starters on your offensive line, a brand new backfield. I mean, there's a lot of brand new and a lot of newness. And so what you've got to somehow do is get choreographed and get that timing down. And all you can, it takes reps to do that. You got to be on the same page. You got to have an offense. It doesn't have to be dynamic right out of the gate. I hope people understand and adjust their expectations. If you didn't have the best defense in the nation, this would be a different conversation. But when you have the best defense in the nation, and yours, I mean, and they really are, I mean, guys are so good on defense. We haven't even talked about it. I know it's not sexy to talk about defense. You just go, yeah, they're really good. No, they're like the best. But when you've got a defense like that, you just don't want to lose on offense. You've got to be efficient. You've got to, you know, a punt is not a bad thing. And I know people are wincing and driving off the road. But when you have a defense, because who's going 80 yards on this defense? Let me tell you, there was only one team last year that scored 3 touchdowns against Georgia. And it was arguably the best offense in the modern era. There was no other team that scored 3 touchdowns on Georgia. In the second half of the season, games 6 through 12, there were no teams that had a play for more than 40 yards. I mean, that's how good they were last year. And they're even better this year. So what you need on offense is you need efficiency. They do want to throw the ball. Kirby wants to recruit to this system. He wants proficiency. He wants explosiveness. But the number one component to explosiveness, according to Todd Monken, who had the most productive passing offense in the NFL in 2018 with the Buccaneers, the number one thing is run-pass conflict. And what does that mean? Well, that means the defense doesn't know what's coming. Well, what does that mean? That means 2nd and 5 instead of 2nd and 10. It means 3rd and 3 instead of 3rd and 8. It means the defense is in conflict and they're not sure. And you can go to the line of scrimmage, and depending on how they're lined up with a pro-style quarterback, you can call the appropriate play. So what you need is a quarterback under center that can run pro style that's not going to turn the ball over.
Mike Griffith from the AJC, always a pleasure, always passionate, always on point. Good stuff, Mike. Thank you so much.
Good time, guys. Everybody be safe.
You got it. Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC. Good stuff from Mike. But I would say this is, you know, it's funny. You look at the college football landscape the last 7 or 8 years, outside of Jake Coker winning a national championship in 2015, it's all been won by elite quarterbacks. I think more than ever, you need to have an elite game-changing quarterback to win the national championship. I don't know that efficient and proficiency and, you know, game manager and, you know, all those other labels, no matter how good your defense is, will get it done. Look at the guys that have won the national championship. Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Tua Tagovailoa, Jameis Winston. Those guys were all elite college quarterbacks, the best of the best. I don't know that the JT Daniels, and like maybe he'll become elite eventually, but Ian Book, yeah, you go around college football, there's some good quarterbacks, some very good quarterbacks, but it feels like you got to be the best of the best in order to win the whole thing. All right, we will come back, wrap up hour number two with the debut of the Saturday Social. My producer and chairman of the board, Dylan Matthews, with everything that's trending on social media and our reactions to it. Sports, entertainment, news. Don't worry, if it is news related, it won't get too heavy. Trust me, we're trying to be an escape from all the craziness, our craziness, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every touchdown.
Touchdown, Atlanta.
Slam dunk.
He jammed.
Shot on goal.
Hit shot, goal!
Home run.
First pitch is belted.
All season, hear it here.
Even on the weekends.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in here live on a Saturday, the Nick Kale Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the Radio.com app. Shout out to Brian Baldinger, Radio.com NFL Insider, NFL Network, as well as Mike Griffith for hopping on the show today. If you missed either interview, just go back and listen to it. Radio.com rewind function is always available for you. We'll get to Ronald Acuna, the Braves, and indispensable athletes in Atlanta coming up in the third hour of the show. Also, we'll get back to the Falcons and Seahawks, which we started the show with, as well as some gambling picks, some NFL picks against the spread for week one tomorrow before we get out of here. But right now, it is time for the Saturday Social as my producer and chairman of the board, Dylan Matthews, comes in right now with what is trending in the world on social media. Some of these stories I have heard about or seen. Others, I got no idea. So I'm going to react to the first time just like you guys are. Sports, entertainment, news, could be anything. Dylan, what do we got for the Saturday Social?
All right, for the debut edition of the Saturday Social, we're gonna start it off light, and then we're gonna get into the heavy stuff a little bit later. So let's touch on the stuff that me and you already both know about that we kind of discussed off the air. So Let's start with National Video Game Day is today. So let's go ahead and discuss what is the best sports game out there. Some people say Madden, some people say 2K, some people might say Tecmo Bowl. What's your take?
You know, it's so funny, is I grew up playing all of them, but there's nothing I loved more than the Madden football game, playing it online with Xbox Live against people I have no idea who I'm playing. Mm-hmm. I haven't played it in probably 3 or 4 years. You get married, you have kids. Right. In my case, you end up with twin daughters. You don't have many hours for Xbox Live.
Exactly.
But I would have to go Madden just because I loved how realistic it became.
Oh, for sure.
As the game kept rolling out year after year. Although I got to tell you, man, old school back in the day, Nick, like mid-90s, bro, I'm telling you, NBA Jam, that was my jam legitimately. Like,
oh,
NBA Jam, he's on fire, he's a flamethrower. That yes. was so good.
Yeah, I forget. I think it was NBA Jam was the game that I always wanted. But Madden was good too. But Madden, I always still see like on Instagram and Twitter, sloppy Madden plays. Mm-hmm. And literally the other day, I saw this one where a Madden player came running from like off the bench area, like on the side of the screen on the right, and came in and made the tackle. Yep. I was like, yeah. So Madden is still good for its glitches and stuff, but that's cool. But as far as best sports game go, I gotta go 2K, man. I mean, Madden is right there too. It's kind of a 1A, 1B. It's kind of a personal taste thing if you wanna mm-hmm. take it that far, but I gotta go personally 2K. I mean, 2K gets me riled up. Me and my buddy, back in the day when, you know, work wasn't really a thing and we just focused on school, I mean, 2K, we used to go at it, have our battles in 2K, man. I literally could play 2K if all day, and I literally would try to, you know, maybe be a 2K player if mm-hmm. I was good enough, but I'm not that good, so.
Well, were you a fan of NBA Live? Because back in the day, it started with NBA Jam, and mm-hmm. then when you got to the 5-on-5 style, NBA Live took over for EA Sports, but then 2K came along and blew it, basically ended that whole whole franchise.
Yeah, it was for maybe about what, 1, 2, maybe 3 years if you want to give them, if you want to give NBA Live a little credit, where they were kind of going head to head, but 2K mm-hmm. just straight up blew them out of the water. I did have NBA Live. I had a good stretch of NBA Live games. I think I had NBA Live 08, 09, and I think I got 10 as well, and then moved on to 2K because once 2K9, 2K10 hit, it was over with.
You know, the one thing that drove me nuts mm-hmm. about NBA Jam and NBA Live was the fact that Michael Jordan would never sign off on having his name, image, and likeness in the game.
Yeah, that sucks, but I mean,
I mean, I guess when you're the GOAT, you can kind of pull that off.
Right, right.
But it's kind of a jerk move.
It is. It's like, come on, man. Everybody wants to play as you. We know what's up. Like, come on. Just let it be. Just let it be. And if you really want to cut, I mean, they probably would give you a little cut. But still, you shouldn't need it. You got all that Jordan money. Come on now. Yep.
Now, it is National Video Game Day. Real quickly before we move on, mm-hmm. were you a, or are you a Call of Duty guy? Or are you just sports?
I like those games like that, and I have played games like Call of Duty, stuff like that, but I am not good at them. Like, I am pretty, when I say trash, I'm pretty trash. I'm not very good at aiming. I'm not very good at maneuvering around and doing that sort of thing. Those games just kind of aren't for me. Maybe if I played them now that I don't even know, because I haven't played video games in forever, but to keep it short and sweet, nah. I like those games, and I like watching people play those games. I know it sounds weird, but me personally playing them, I'll pass.
Well, it's hard to be good in those Call of Duty shooter games because you're always up against like a 19-year-old in the dorm room,
right,
hopped up on Mountain Dew and Cheetos.
Exactly.
I mean, that guy's living, he's having the time of his life.
Who has nothing else to do. Who, you know, exactly, like I said, work isn't a thing for him at that point in time. So he's got all day to get good and polish his skills while, you know, on the other hand, we're contributing members to the society. So we don't have time for Call of Duty like we used to.
All right, what do we got next on the Saturday Social?
All right, next on the Saturday Social, we'll keep it with, you know, National Video Game Day is a national day, but on Twitter, I saw trending, today is Cash App Saturday. Now, at first, I thought it was a thing where, like, if you had Cash App gave you, like, $50. That obviously was not true, because I checked my Cash App immediately, and I saw nothing was there. So, cried a little bit there, but apparently everybody is putting out their Cash App and basically begging. So I guess today is a day where people beg for money to get sent to their Cash App. So I guess that's a thing.
Okay, you got to fill me in on this, because as a married man, 36 years old with two kids and a wife that I've been with in totality 18 years, married for 12.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to have cash. I mean, I'm very fortunate if I'm even allowed to get the debit card. But when I get the debit card, it's, you know, to buy gas or buy groceries. So Cash App, I'm assuming, is just like another virtual way of paying that you could use instead of putting your bank card out there.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, have you heard of Venmo?
Yeah. Venmo and PayPal.
It's basically like Venmo and PayPal. Literally the pretty much the exact same thing, just a different app. The biggest trend was like a lot of young girls who, you know, were, I guess, attractive and, you know, was trying to give, you know where I'm going with this. They would put their Cash App out there and, you know, try to get some money and, you know, not for an exchange for anything, of course, but, you know, just try to get thirsty guys to send their money. So I think that's where kind of Cash App kind of got born into, but, you know, it's evolved since then. But, yeah, today is Cash App Saturday. So, you know, maybe if you download a Cash App, maybe one of our faithful listeners will send you a buck or two.
Bro, I could use a buck or two. I'm sitting here doing a Saturday show with you. I could use all the money in the world. Come on, man.
No, I totally agree. Right. Also, let's keep it pushing here. So we're going to get a little bit deeper into this now as we're winding down on today on the Saturday Social. So I saw this, and this has been trending for probably a couple hours now. So we all know, let me ask you first. Are you a fan of the Marvel movies, Marvel Studios? You a fan? Have you kept up?
You know what's weird is I am the biggest Batman fan of all time, okay, as far as every single movie. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you if Batman is DC, if it's Marvel. Beyond Batman, I don't really get into that stuff.
Okay, gotcha. Well, do you know about like Captain America, things like that? Okay,
I just can't say I've seen them all.
Okay, but do you know Chris Evans as Captain America?
Yes.
Okay, so Chris Evans, everybody's beloved Captain America, apparently just had some photos leaked that, you know, photos that you would not usually like leaked, if you catch my drift.
I got you.
Usually in this cancel culture that we are in now, you know, people would be shaming Chris Evans. Oh, Chris Evans, how could you do this to us? You're supposed to be our Captain America, our, you know, stand-up guy, this, that, and the third. But it turns out the total opposite has happened. People are literally praising Chris Evans. I don't know what necessarily say. That might not be the right word, but literally he is getting the most positive feedback that anybody has ever gotten from. What was that?
He's entering GOAT status?
He is entering GOAT status as we speak, literally. Like, I've never seen anybody get such positive feedback from such a, you know, embarrassing type of thing. Everybody's literally saying it's the highlight of their day. people are saying, you know, people are sharing other pictures and like, you know, since these photos got leaked, let me leak these photos. And they're a picture of him happy with his dog or just him smiling. Literally, everybody is loving the fact that those photos were leaked. So I guess Captain America Chris Evans has built up enough, you know, credit to where you can have those type of photos leaked and there's no consequences.
I got two takes, two reactions to this story. Number one, the smartphone is the worst thing that ever happened to America.
For sure.
Because you can get into so much trouble on your phone, and we don't even use it for the actual point of being a phone and talking anymore. It's used for everything but talking. That's number one. Mm. So this guy, Chris Evans, got to do better next time if you feel embarrassed. But if the whole Twitter sphere is praising you for it, and we live in this cancel culture world, here's what I would say. I think people are smart enough to know you can't cancel Chris Evans because technically he doesn't work for one single employer. If you work for a network or just a company, you can be fired.
Right.
Whereas Chris Evans, now maybe he won't get work again, but he doesn't work for one specific director or producer or production company. He's kind of a la carte. He can pick and choose his roles with different employers that come his way. So Chris Evans, he's entering GOAT status in more ways than one.
Entering GOAT status, like you said, in more ways than one. All right, final story, quick one here. Want to keep one kind of sports one. And this one is also, you know, has to do with our hometown Falcons, who obviously get their season kicked off tomorrow. How about Asante Samuel Jr. getting the first, and it's also related to Georgia Tech because Asante Samuel Jr. plays for Florida State, who was taking on Georgia Tech at this time, gets the first pick of the season against Georgia Tech. And obviously Asante Samuel, a former Falcon, a short stint, but still a stint as a Falcon. So how about Asante Samuel Jr. there?
Yeah, doing good work. I would say if I got this correct, didn't we have a story pop up where Asante Samuel Sr., the former Falcon, the former Eagle and Patriot, was on Twitter, and he was kind of taking shots at Darryl Green.
Yeah,
do you remember that story?
I do. I do vaguely remember that story, yes.
He's like criticizing, like, I don't understand why Darryl Green gets so much love. He wasn't that good. He played nickelback. And I'm thinking, yo, he was the fastest guy in the league and one of the best corners for, my God, it felt like 15 years. He played. I think he played till like 2000 and he was on those teams in the early 90s and the 80s. I mean,
right.
Asante, I love you, man. But you had a lot of picks in your career, but you're not Darryl Green.
No, Asante, I mean, he had a nice NFL career, but nothing like Darryl Green. Asante, same with that flame burned out way quicker than Darryl's did. So,
all right, good stuff. Dylan Matthews, that's Matthews with one T on
that's
the Saturday
right.
social. We'll come back, kick off the third and final hour. On the other side, we got some Braves discussion to get to, including Ronald Acuña and whether or not he really is the most indispensable athlete in Atlanta. That's coming up next. Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.